T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, let's head out to the Dialpad guest line, bring in John Dickinson. JD was at yesterday's game, and JD, it was such a classic that I've started out every interview with our guests today by just saying, what'd you think of that game yesterday?
Just incredible. I mean, it had a little bit of everything, honestly. It had the amazing offense, and it had trick plays, and it had, you know, a fake punt, and you had wide receivers throwing passes. And I thought the game too was very physical. I thought it was typically in a game that's that loose in terms of the points being scored back and forth and all the offense, it feels that way. Like, if you go back and you think of the Rams-Chiefs game from last year, that Monday night game where both teams scored in the 50s, and it was a shootout back and forth, that game felt loose to me. The game yesterday didn't. The game yesterday felt like, yeah, the defenses were having some trouble, but when they were able to get to players, they were trying to lay hits on them. There were some sacks in the game. There were some, you know, key defensive plays. A guy like DJ Jones making a momentum changing play with a forcing a fumble. So I think the game literally had everything. It was incredible. It was an incredible environment. I think the environment makes the game special, and what the folks in New Orleans have in the Superdome is outstanding. But even that was enhanced by the fact that there were so many 49er fans in the building, and they took over Bourbon Street the night before too. I was out and about kind of checking out the scene there, and it was just a real special kind of a weekend with two great teams.
JD, looking at Jimmy Garoppolo's performance, probably his best performance as a 49ers quarterback. He's now 17-4 when he starts a game for the 49ers. Just the throws he made yesterday, starting from the opening drive to the last drive. How would you summarize Jimmy Garoppolo's performance yesterday in the Superdome?
Look, he's had it when they've needed it. And I know he hasn't been perfect, and you know I throw yesterday's interception completely out. I mean, I'm not saying anything about that, but he was dialed in early, and you could tell it was the kind of game where, you know, you got the impression that he knew he was going to have to be special for the 49ers to have a chance to win the game. And so I thought, you know, he can play. And maybe not all of the time, but he sure has a lot of the time, especially when the 49ers have been up against it a little bit and needed him to make plays. He has performed as well as any quarterback really possibly can at times. Like, he has that in his game. You know, we talk a lot about, well, he might have the one bad throw or the one poor decision or what the heck is he looking at on a particular play. He may have a little bit of that, but I think that what you also have to point out is he has a lot of the big time stuff on the high end too. And yesterday I think was a perfect example. Yeah, he might make one play where you go, uh-oh, but he might make five plays where you go, wow, that's as good as it gets for any quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah, JD, you are spot on. I agree 100% with you. I want to ask you this. The defense gave up 46 points. And when I sat down at 10 a.m., I didn't expect that. And I do respect Drew Brees. And now we're hearing Sherman, you know, strained his hammy. We don't know if he's going to be out, and if so, how long? How shocked are you about the defensive effort and what you saw, giving up the touchdown where the Saints thought they won the game? What did you take from the defensive effort just in totality yesterday?
Yeah, I think they were a little tired in the second half, maybe from the trip, so I'll just kind of work my way backward. I thought, you know, the 49ers, there's just so much offense back and forth. I mean, teams are scoring so quickly, that doesn't help defenses. I think sometimes it can kind of snowball. But I also think this is the game where, you know, look, you got to give the Saints credit too. I mean, you know, Kyle Shanahan and Sean Payton may be the top two play callers in the NFL. And look, Sean Payton's been doing it a lot longer than even Kyle Shanahan has, and already has a Super Bowl ring, you know, for it. So, Drew Brees, same kind of thing. When you knew they would be prepared in the game, and boy, were they. I mean, I thought they took advantage of Jaquaski Tartt being out, throwing at areas where Marcel Harris would have to make plays, and he didn't have it early in the game, so I think they took advantage of that. They are elite at finding weaknesses and areas to exploit, especially in the middle of the field, and they were able to do that. They got a lot of weapons and talent, so I think you just have to chalk it up to it was a bad game against an incredible opponent.
JD, one of the things that was a theme starting about 3 weeks ago was this stretch versus Green Bay, at Baltimore, at New Orleans. If I asked you to grade that three-game stretch, what would you grade it?
It's an A. They absolutely get an A. They won two of the three games. They won one of the games dominantly. They won yesterday in as hostile an environment as you possibly can play in against a team that had the same exact record as them. After they fell behind 13 points in the game and then wind up blowing a lead in the fourth quarter, they still find a way to win that game. That's the stuff that tells you that this team can do anything. That's the stuff that tells you that if you can handle that, you can go in and handle Seattle at the end of the year if you have to. And that doesn't mean the game's going to be easy. And look, they very easily could have lost yesterday, and they could lose that game at the end of the year. Hell, the next two games aren't necessarily going to be a picnic when it comes to a short week against the Rams and maybe an emotional letdown with the Falcons coming into Levi Stadium off of these last three games and how intense they all were.
You didn't say that again.
Yeah, you say that again, Jenny. I think Steinbitz needs to hear this.
You didn't hear. You obviously weren't listening to the past.
No, I was on a plane. Yeah. But you went on a rant about how that doesn't matter.
No, my feeling is that old thing. Oh, the Falcons are coming in here with nothing to play for. It's like no. When you're a team like the Niners that's rolling right now, you steamroll the Falcons next week.
No,
because
you don't take
them lightly.
No, I hear you, and it's not that they're going to take them lightly, and it's not that the Falcons even have anything to offer. I'll even throw those two things out. It's just that the 49ers physically, beat up, emotionally not quite there. It's a lot like the Arizona game. Look at the Arizona game, right? Coming off of the game against Seattle. I know that was a short week, and it's not a short week against Atlanta. It won't be until the Rams game. But the 49ers just didn't have it for the first quarter and a half of that game. And so I kind of put those two in a similar category where maybe you just don't have it and you have to overcome it. Look, there's no excuses. You need to win the game. And if you don't win the game, then I'm going to take that A that I gave him for the last three games. I'm probably going to knock it down to a C because you got to back it up now. You got to win that game, and you got to win the following game, and then you got to go win in Seattle, although I guess the 49ers don't have to necessarily win both of those games now to still have a shot at the division up in Seattle because the Seahawks lost last night. But no, if you do what they did yesterday, that to me bodes well. I know the matchups are different, and Seattle, there's its own personal history with the 49ers where they haven't been able to win there, and they haven't been able to beat them, and they ended the Harbaugh era basically by celebrating a championship and then celebrating on the Levi Stadium turf. So I know Seattle's different, guys, but if you can win like you did yesterday, I think you can win that final game of the year if you need to.
JD, real quick, moving forward, let's talk some injuries here. Richard Sherman. Grade 2 hamstring strain. Looks like he may be out 2 to 4 weeks. Maybe we won't see him back until January for the playoffs. Where's Richburg at? Jaquaski Tartt, is he close to coming back? Because we saw Marcel Harris struggle with missed tackles and coverage yesterday against the Saints. Where are we at with the injuries, JD?
Yeah, the full updates are coming probably in about an hour and 15 minutes when Kyle Shanahan will meet with the media. Sherman, that's tough. I mean, he's a guy that always tries to get himself out there. And it sounds like we're probably not going to see Sherman, at least in the Falcons game, although he always says don't rule him out. I would probably lean right now, maybe not the Rams game either, and he's trying to do everything he can to get geared up and be able to play in that last game of the season up in Seattle, which could be for everything, the one seed or the five seed. essentially. As far as Tart, I think we'll see Tart at some point. But yeah, the Richburg one, that looks like that's going to be that looks like that's going to be ugly, and that where they're going to be without him.
JD, you always are even keel. We were talking about the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. When you heard news that he was coming to San Francisco, did you expect it to have him to have the effect on the offense that he has? Has he surpassed what you thought he could do? Because for me, it has. I mean, way past.
Yeah, he has, I think, exceeded, but he's not a joke either. Like, this guy's a damn good football player, and he's had a nice career. And if anything, the thing that I like the most about the move, and I think I said this to you guys, I like the fact that he's a talented guy, and look, he's got a little diva in him, but he's a calm diva. You know what I mean? He's a professional diva. But the guy produces. I think he's a little underrated. I thought he was a perfect fit. To me, they needed somebody that wasn't a diva, that wasn't about the noise, and wasn't about the name, and wasn't about, you know, all the nonsense that we're going to talk about for 6 days leading up to a game. But we're on the seventh day where they actually play the game. He's going to contribute, and he's going to be productive, and he's going to, you know, really help the football team. So for me, Emmanuel Sanders was a perfect fit because, yeah, he's got a little swag to him, and he knows he's a pretty darn good football player. If you talk to him or you're sitting there in a press conference watching him, you get it. But on the field, he's a professional first. It's not about the other stuff. So I actually thought that move was a perfect fit. But, Guru, to your point, he's exceeded anything I would have thought in the same vein.
All right, JD, I guess we'll hear you tonight at 6 o'clock, Warriors pregame. Is that correct?
Yeah, Warriors live tonight. Who the Warriors playing tonight?
Memphis. It's the first time they're favored this season.
Yeah, that's a little dangerous.
Everybody's healthy outside of Curry and Clay. I guess Jacob Evans may play tonight.
Wow. So look at that. So, yeah, Warriors live, 6 o'clock. I'll be on with Whitey Gleason, Jim Barnett. Before and after the game, Warriors might get a little winning streak going, guys.
Wow. Yes, sir. Thanks a lot, JD. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.